Blog Talk Radio.
Merle, and I'm your host, Merle Exit, and I'm here from, it's not sunny New York now, cloudy New York. It's like 7 o'clock on my time, and looks like we got a really interesting show this evening. We're going to have a guest. We're going to have Leslie Gore. Yes, singer Leslie Gore, remember the songs of It's My Party, Judy's Turn to Cry, and You Don't Own Me. That Leslie Gore, and she'll be on. And then we're going to have William Adler from Reader's Digest talk about sweepstakes. Like, how can you tell if it's really a sweepstake or a scam? And then I have some product reviews, especially from a company called Travelon. All kinds of products to take with you when you travel. So right now we're going to go, and I believe, do I have Leslie on the air? Do I have Leslie? You're on the air. Oh, it's not Leslie. No, I don't. Oh, I know who that is. Forget it. Sorry, Barbara. I was waiting. Didn't realize where this is coming up from. So in the meantime, what I'm going to do while we're waiting for her is I'm going to play one of Leslie's latest songs. Well, not latest songs, and there's been a lot of new songs since the oldies and goodies, of which here's one of them. It's called Ever Since. Thank you. guess that's ever since the party. Now it's still, and been waiting ever since for Leslie to call in. And in the meantime, well, you know, it's sponsor time. Yeah, you know which one, because, and I'll tell you.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Yes, and you can get these wonderful brownies at brownies.com. I think they might be out in some stores. I'm not sure. Haven't gone to brownies.com in a while. But I have to tell you, added to this, the newest brownies are enrobed with Belgian chocolate. Oh, yeah. And it was a raspberry swirl, it was a caramel, and a walnut. This is the ones they have. They might have more, I'm not sure. I certainly will find out next month at the Chocolate Show. Yes, the annual Chocolate Show in Manhattan was taking place next month. I think it's around November 7th, 8th. It's that weekend. And it's an entire weekend, yes. And as a matter of fact, Fairy Tale Brownies as a sponsor, and what they do, thank goodness somebody does this, is they provide breakfast to the media when we arrive at 10 o'clock in the morning on Friday to check everything out. I think we have a couple of hours before the crowd comes in, yes, and, you know, eating chocolate or picking out on chocolate that early in the morning. Well, we'll be flipping out by the time we get to anything else. So, you know, we're very happy that the Fairy Tale Brownies does this for us. So, while we're waiting, hopefully it won't be like some of these last times. Anyway, while we're waiting, I wanted to tell you about what happened. So on Monday, because we talked about that, I guess it was it last week? I guess last week. That's right, last week. Oh, gosh, time goes by. Who the fuck knows what day it is after a while. So we had this wonderful event at the Sports Museum of America, and it was really, really heartwarming. We had the president of the Sports Museum of America, John Urban, versus what I accidentally wrote in the Queen's Times, John Rubin, but in the other publications it will be John Urban. President is the person that we handed Andrew Douglas's retired jersey. Now the next thing, follow up on that, will of course be where will they place it. And I walked around the museum, which is absolutely wonderful. The Sports Museum of America is at 26th Broadway in way downtown Manhattan near Battery Park. And so I walked around and looked to see, like, where would it be. I had a couple of ideas because there was not an area like with the football. It's there was a whole area on college football. There's the Heisman Trophy. There's NFL football. Not much because the NFL Hall of Fame, we don't want to take away. They don't want to take away from that. So I looked at some other areas, and it looks like, well, perhaps there's one that has to do with let's see, breakers. What's forgot the word? Well, in other words, yes. Well, you know. So an area that where they have, in other words, how people, whether they're African Americans that came in, and you know that type of thing, and the first women, et cetera, et cetera. But in that area, it didn't look like there was a place to actually hang the jersey. There wasn't a showcase there. So the other place that it could possibly be in would be what I deem as the Billie Jean King wing, which actually is a whole huge room that not only displays her things and, you know, and tennis, but also is kind of the home for the Women's Sports Foundation, and in terms of, you know, displaying things. And so perhaps that it will go there, because it's now the first item from a women's tackle football team. And then, of course, it was great that we were having this whole ceremony to honor the New York Sharks, the flag team, which is the USA flag team that went up there and to the flag tournament. And I guess it was a pretty good turnout in terms of the players. It was difficult because it was Columbus Day. There were people working, people that went away for the weekend, etc. You know, so not everybody could show up, but it was pretty good. Got some fabulous certificates and letters from politicians all over the place. And it was Ken Podziba who gave a little speech and introduced he was the person who read the letter from the mayor's office to congratulate us. And then we had from the NFL we had Samantha Rappaport, who I believe she handles youth sports with the NFL. I think she has a youth program. That's in the NFL. She's a former quarterback from the Montreal Blitz. And she was there. She was actually there to introduce Andra, to read a letter as to why Andra was the person that we decided to have as the person giving the jersey. So that was really heartwarming. Andrew, she tried a couple of times not to cry, but she was quite emotional about the whole thing. I could understand with all of the work that she's been doing for the women's tackle football and kind of getting honored as, you know, someone who's pioneering. So that was a great day there. So now to get back to this. Okay, so it's her party, and she'll cry if she wants to. But back to this, okay. We're going to talk later about all these products. I went to this show. I missed. There was another show yesterday on green products, and I decided I just couldn't go. I just have too many products here that I'm testing out, trying out. I'll have a lot of people, you know, different people on the air to talk about them. And but let me tell you, recently I got, this was kind of cool. Recently I got this, it's a company called Violite. And what they make these things, Zappa toothbrush sanitizers. Hopefully next week I can get some people on to talk about this. There's this whole thing about using UV light to sanitize. So what is this thing with the toothbrush sanitizers? Is that, for instance, there's one, I have these portable ones. And you have this one toothbrush. It's in a very cute little round thing. It goes on your, just put it on your sink, and it rocks. Kind of, it rocks back and forth. I guess it's cute. Okay. And you put your toothbrush in it, and you push the button there, and it sanitizes. I think it goes on for about, 6 minutes, and your toothbrush is sanitized. I don't know how you could tell, but that's why I'm going to have these people on the air at some point. And but they also have one that you just, it's a carrying one that you can, a little toothbrush holder. It looks like that, and you can, take it on you, with you to hotels, et cetera, when you travel, or even to someone's house, they say, shall I bring my toothbrush? Well, you can bring that one. And then there's another one has a dual for when you're traveling with somebody or somebody's at your house or there's more than one person. I think they have a whole set of these kind of things. And and one of the other companies called Verilux. Verilux has, but I think both of these have them. They have these wands, and they're sanitizing wands. And again, it's a UV light, and you hold it over whatever you want to sanitize. So I would imagine it's great. Again, you're going into a hotel, and you don't know who peed on the bed, whatever. But by the way, when you go to a hotel, you immediately remove whatever the cover on the bed. You got to do it. And I guess you can do it on the walls, but the wand is supposedly okay with these wands, and they have one also a pocket wand. Verilux has a little pocket wand that you can take with you. So you're cleaning, I guess, let's say, I would clean, the telephone, remote control. Yeah, you want that clean. You don't know who's touched it or what they touched it with. And I guess the glasses, just to make sure, if you put it over the glasses. I guess we'll come up and we'll try to think of all kinds of things you can clean. I want to ask if you can do it over you just bought a chicken. Can you use the UV light to clean, to put, go over your chicken, or will your chicken get a suntan? I'm not sure. But then I have another one, again, with this UV light. This one is supposed to be it's a therapy. It's a therapy for people who have SAD or are SAD. In other words, it's now the winter time, and there's not much light, and it gets dark, and we're all SAD. And depressed, and about to jump out the window. And instead of doing that, you put on this light, and you're supposed to do this therapy for about, 10 minutes. At least do it 10 minutes a day to make sure that you do this, so that it takes away whatever horrible feeling you have. You know, you can just do that for 10, 15 minutes and say, wow, who gives a shit that I have no more money in the bank? You know, instead of, you know, being sad about it. I suppose. But they're also saying you can lose weight. Well, they're saying you can lose weight because if you're not feeling like shit, and you're not depressed, then you won't eat just to eat, or out of boredom, or depression, or whatever reason that you eat other than being hungry. Or somebody that I know is very smart and eats in small bites. Yes, I know, Nancy, you're not listening. That's very smart. She eats in small bites, and she said she likes to do that because this way there's always room. A little bit of part of her stomach always has some room, no matter how full. There's always room for dessert. And that's a good idea. I'm going to try. Actually, what I think I'll do is I'm going to do this and then eat with a small fork and see if it makes a difference. I guess you could say I'm going to go fork myself, huh? Well, okay. Let's see. I'm just checking any interesting email. Email. Okay. okie dokie. Yes. Okay, I just got your email, Barbara. Yeah, I also been getting, I got one really very cute, one cute email. Oh, okay, what am I reading here? 9 things I hate about everyone. 1, people who point at their wrist while asking for the time. I know where my watch is, pal. Where the hell is yours? Do I point at my crotch when I ask where the toilet is? Number 2, people who are willing to get off their ass to search the entire room for the TV remote. Because they refuse to walk to the TV and change the channel manually. I'm going to put this on speaker. There's going to be some noise. Let's get this on speaker here. Okay. Now it says, when people say, oh, you just want to have your cake and eat it too. Damn right. What good is cake if you don't eat it? Right? Number 4, when people say, it's always the last place you look. Of course it is. Why the hell would you keep looking after you found it? Do people do this? Who and where are they? Gonna kick their asses. Number 5, when people say while watching a film, did you see that? No, loser. I paid $12 to come to the cinema and stare at the damn floor. Number 6. People who ask, can I ask you a question? Didn't really give me a choice there, did you, sunshine? when something is new and improved, which is it? If it's new, then there has never been anything before it. If it's an improvement, then there must have been something before it. Couldn't be new. Number 8, when people say, life is short. What the hell? Life is the longest damn thing anyone ever does. What can you do that's longer? Number 9, when you were waiting for the bus and someone asks, has the bus come yet? goodness. You know, my sister, I have to tell, my sister emailed me something. My sister emailed me something very, very interesting. Talking about, because of the economy and not being able to have gifts for everybody this Christmas. Oh, God. Here you are. You go to the store and you buy some really good maxi pants. All right? And what you're doing is you're going to make slippers for everybody. You take one maxi pad as the, you know, the slipper part, and then the second maxi pad you wrap around the front to hold the toes. It's nice and soft. It's absorbed. Your feet won't smell because it absorbs. It's really great. And on the part that you're wrapping around, at the part that you're wrapping around, you can you can put all kinds of designs on it and make it, you know, Christmassy or whatever you want. You can make it very personal. And, you know, you hey, if you go, you know, like if there's dust on the floor, you can be, you know, wiping it up too. You won't dirty the floors, that's for sure. I think that's a great idea. Listen, I'm way past menopause, and I have pads in the house, you know, just in case somebody comes over or who knows, you know, or mop up the floor with, or, you know, I thought about, like, you take maxi pads, you put it on, you know, like if you're going to go skating, you just kind of, like, place it on your knees as knee pads, you know? I think that would be a fabulous idea. So then when you fall, you know, you would, Oh, goodness gracious. So really sick and warped. I got to find another one. In the meantime, while I'm finding another one, it's sponsor time.
Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra leg room.
Uh-huh. We have extra leg room as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay. If I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No, that is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room.
Ah.
I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue. Based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
Ah, yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward. I don't know where I'm going to go, but I got JetBlue someplace so I can really check out their new terminal here at JFK. It's really supposed to be something else. I get back to say, okay, here's another one I got from somebody. that's really... that's the other thing really is good. Yeah. I mean, actually, there's a lot of, there used to be this thing from Mad Magazine, Snappy Answers to Stupid Questions. That was really pretty cool, too. Here is an official announcement. The government today announced that it is changing its emblem from an eagle to a condom, because it more accurately reflects the government's political stance. A condom allows for inflation, halts production, destroys the next generation, protects a bunch of pricks, and gives you a sense of security while you're actually being screwed. Damn, that just doesn't get more accurate than that, huh? Yeah.
Okay. I got to find some of the other ones that I get here that people send me. Let's see if, just let me check. Let's check the emails again to see what's coming in here. Let's see. Flag football. Wow, what is this here? What the heck is going on here? Flag football. Two flag football players die on the field. Whoa! One of them is in Anchorage, Alaska. You know whose fault that is. Now what? Wow. See, let's see. This is number 11, seven man. That's seven man, no contact, Alaska Girls High School. Okay. Well, I don't know who the second one was. Well, I guess we have to be careful, I guess, the way that perhaps that we're exercising or just maybe realize whether we are in shape to do this. We. Notice, excuse me. Notice as I said we, as if like, you know, like I can play this like sports. Forget it, you know. Not me. Sports not for me. Let's see. Okay, so who do I got on the air?
You have William Adler. Hi.
I got William Adler. Well, I don't know what the hell happened with Leslie Gore, but you...
Oh, no, I don't want to compete with her.
No, well, I don't know. I mean, she was supposed to call in at 7.
Oh, my goodness. Well, if you get her, it's her party, and she can cry if she wants to.
That's what I say, you know, so it's your thing. Well, I kind of mentioned, but tell her, you know, introduce yourself to my...
Well, maybe the best segue is actually to borrow another Leslie Gore song. Maybe I know he's been a cheating. My name is, and for your listeners and those tuning in tonight, my name is William Adler. I'm spokesman for the Reader's Digest Association, and I'm calling because we started to talk about ways to warn the public about a number of scams that are out there to try to take people's money through internet scams, mail scams, phone scams. Unfortunately, there are a plethora of those kinds of things going on now. But the good news is there are things that people can do to try to outsmart the scammers and hackers and to make sure that they don't get parted with their hard-earned money.
So let's begin with talking about some of the things that people will tend to see.
Well, one of the things that we've been concerned about at Reader's Digest Association is the misuse of our name or names of other well-known companies like Time Inc. or Publishers Clearinghouse to lure people into thinking that they've won a prize when they have not. And the object of this is to get them to pay a fee in exchange for receiving a prize. For example, you might get a call or a letter that says that you have won a sweepstakes, and it's for a large amount of money, and all you have to do is deposit this check, which is included in the materials that are provided, and we will ask in exchange for a small handling fee or administrative fee, and you send this in, and then your check will clear. Well, what happens is the people submit the check, and it's a real check, but it has no funds behind it. And meanwhile, in good faith, they send off a couple of $100, which they think is their fee, and then they never hear from the people again, and the check bounces. So this is a scam that the U.S. Postal Service Inspector's Office calls the fake check scam, because a check is provided, and the bank will accept it in all likelihood because it is set up like a real check, but there are no funds behind it.
Wow, that's interesting. Well, how much have people, like, paid, like, for these kind of things?
Well, it's usually set up so that it looks believable, and the alleged prize might be for thousands, hundreds of thousands, or even millions of dollars, and then the fee is just a couple of $100 or maybe $1,000. So people can easily think, well, this seems reasonable, and send in the money, and they're bilked out of a couple of $100 or maybe $1,000. And when you add this up, and this is happening, unfortunately, nationwide, it's quite a little business. And the FBI and the Secret Service, believe it or not, as well as the U.S. Postal Inspector's Office are all working together to try to stop these kinds of crimes. And there are some tips that consumers can follow that really will help protect them and make sure they don't get taken in.
Okay, tell us.
Well, the first rule is, if anybody tells you something that sounds too good to be true, it almost always is. So if you get a call out of the blue that you've won a prize and you have to send some money in to collect it, you know that that's a scam. No legitimate sweepstakes ever asks a prize winner for money or for any information, no personal information. They should never ask you about your bank account or your social security number, anything like that. So the minute you're told you've won something, but there's a catch, hang up, because that cannot possibly be true. The other thing is, if you haven't entered, well, how can you be winning a prize? That seems sort of obvious now, but people get caught up in the excitement of what seems to be good news. So if you haven't entered into the Reader's Digest sweepstakes, you probably haven't won it. And certainly, if you ever win a Reader's Digest sweepstakes, you'll get the good news and you won't be asked for anything in return. You'll just get the prize money.
Well, let's just say, for instance, let's say Reader's Digest. I've seen a lot of the Clearinghouse sweepstakes, you know.
Yes.
But let's say in Reader's Digest, what kind of, amounts of money does Reader's Digest wind up, giving?
Well, the prizes vary, and it's different at different times of year and different sweepstakes amounts. It's not likely to be millions of dollars. It's more likely to be in the thousands, but it varies with the prize.
Right.
The thing is that if somebody entered a Reader's Digest sweepstakes, they know what they're getting into because they get a package. The package clearly spells out what the rules are. It always says you do not have to purchase anything to enter. You can check the box that says no purchase, and the prize is submitted and has just the same odds as if the customer had bought something. And it says in the materials when you would be notified. So if somebody takes the time and the trouble to enter a Reader's Digest sweepstakes, all the information is there that would tell them the amounts, what's involved, and when they would be notified. So there really would be no mystery for anybody entering a legitimate sweepstakes like ours. And I should tell you that all of the legitimate sweepstakes are closely regulated, and it's all very much on the up and up. The problem is when somebody contacts you out of the blue and says you've won something, it's easy to kind of forget things and get excited, and that's what they're counting on.
Right. Now, let's just say, I won a large amount from, let's say, Reader's Digest. Would I actually get, what kind of a check, cashier's check, or what would actually come to me?
You would be contacted directly by the company.
Right.
Somebody would verify their identity so that the people knew that it was the real thing, and there would be a personal handoff of the prize winnings, so the whole thing would be very, very obvious and formal. There'd be nothing to set off alarm bells like, hey, you've won a prize, but you have to do something to collect it. It would be very, very professional and would be very clear to the people that they've won something real. And also, as I said, quite likely, it's obvious because the person has applied for this. They've submitted their entry, so none of it seems like it's coming out of the blue.
Right. Well, there's also the case of, I know there are things like with when you use your charge card, there are things that say, well, you're automatically entered into a sweepstake when you use your charge card. So, of course, I'm, you know, I go, yeah, and I wouldn't even think about it. And then who knows, let's say if somebody called me and said, you're a winner.
Yeah, I have a problem with things like that. I don't believe that people should be automatically entered into any kind of a contest or sweepstakes without making a formal decision to participate. And I can tell you that in the case of Reader's Digest sweepstakes, there's no mystery to it. It starts with a package that you receive in the mail. You look at the materials. You make a decision: do I want to participate or not? No harm either way. If you send in the package that you wish to participate, you check off whether or not you want to buy one of the products, or maybe you check that you don't. You mail it, and you've made a conscious decision to play, to participate. And millions of people enjoy that, and also millions of dollars have been given away. So there's nothing wrong with a legitimate sweepstakes. The problem is that there are nefarious folks out there who are including this in their bag of tricks for trying to confuse people, along with other scams like the so-called Nigerian legacy scam that you find in the Internet quite a bit, and so many of those other scams that are out there.
Yeah, well, I get enough of those emails, I have my email in such a way that I can, like, preview it before I open it up.
Yes.
So, you know, and as soon as I see something like that, I delete it before it even opens.
That's a very good way to do it, because you don't even want to click to look at something like that, because then they might capture your email and know that they've got you on the hook for another email another time.
Yeah, that's the trouble with the email of stuff. For the life of me, I have to tell you, this is the funniest thing. For the life of me, I don't know what's going on, but everybody wants me to make my penis grow.
You're getting a lot of those, are you?
Yeah, I'm getting a lot to enlarge my penis, and I'm going, where? I didn't even enter anything where they would think.
Well, you know, it's like the scams, that it's a numbers game, that they're sending a certain amount of whatever out there, and if only a small percentage responds, given the volume, they might make money.
That's true.
I don't think they're making a personal remark about you. I think that they're sending a gazillion of those out.
I know. I think it's hysterical.
It's crazy, isn't it?
That's a problem. You know, that's the kind of email problem. Also, I want to say that, and I don't know if people realize this. There's a lot of stuff with email that it says if you don't want to be on this list to unsubscribe, click. Now, hello, they're randomly sending out. They probably don't even have my email address. Really.
You know what? You've guessed correctly, and that's another scam. It may say click to opt out, and in fact, that's how they're finding out who you are.
Yeah.
So when I see something that I don't like the look of that I get in my email, I just delete it. Don't click anything in the content of the email. Click the X in the upper right hand box. And just get rid of it. You don't want to engage, because you might be telling their computer that you exist, and then again they've got you for the next time.
Yeah, I know. I always think that's a weird thing. And the other thing is, again, is people I don't think they realize when they send something, when they have these things, you know, send it to 20 people and whatever kind of thing. I don't think people realize that what it really boils down to. If somebody is getting a list of emails.
Yeah, so that's another problem. I mean, there are sometimes opt-out options in a legitimate interaction that you're having with a real company. They may give you the option. You know, you might subscribe to something, and then there's an opt-out option at the bottom. But if you're getting an email from something you've never heard of and it looks fishy, you definitely don't want to click anything in there. That's for sure.
Well, let's change the subject just a little bit onto Reader's Digest itself.
Sure.
People can actually write for Reader's Digest. They can submit things, can't they?
Well, we still have this long-standing tradition of accepting jokes from and humorous stories from readers, and they can actually get cash for sending us the jokes, which is very nice. You can do that by going to our website, which is, as you might not find surprising, rd.com, and you can engage with our editors and suggest jokes and possibly get cash for it, which is kind of fun.
Well, do they still have, I haven't read it in a long time, like Humor and Uniform?
Oh, yes. You know, humor is a big part of the magazine, and it's one of our secrets of success, that you read the magazine and you'll find some stories that are inspirational or that give you some new ideas, but there's also something to make you smile.
Right. And by the way, with the stories themselves, are they? I thought I had remembered the story has to have already been published?
Well, that's the original heritage of Reader's Digest when it was founded in 1922 by DeWitt Wallace. His idea was, well, gosh, people are not going to be able to keep track of everything they need to read in this crazy new century that was starting, the 20th century, and let's put together a digest of magazine articles that appeared in other magazines. But that's not what we do today. At this point today, in the new century, most of the articles are original, and they're articles that you have not seen somewhere else. So the model has changed a little bit, but it's still very true to the spirit of copy articles that make you smile and that inspire you.
Oh, okay. That's cool.
So we've changed with the times, but the spirit of the magazine still has some of the original flavor.
I may wind up getting a subscription.
You to take a fresh look because I think that you would be surprised.
Yeah, I think that would be a cool idea. It's interesting, of the things that I remembered from years ago, especially, I remember in elementary school, that one of the things, it was that the vocabulary thing in there?
Oh, yes. We have something called Word Power.
Yes.
And that is to, people are fascinated with words and they love to build their vocabulary. It's just part of life. And so we have intriguing words in the magazine under the heading of Word Power, and that's a very popular part of it that we've kept over the years as well.
Yeah, because I kind of remember from elementary school as like one of the things that was done in my English class. No, not homework, or something, whatever I was in when we.
That's
were,
right. Something else you might remember from that time is Weekly Reader, and that's a magazine that we publish as well.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Children are still reading that all the way through school, all the way up through high school. There are different Weekly Reader published magazines.
Wow. Boy, nostalgia, let me tell you.
I know, nostalgia, and yet it's still happening.
Leslie Gore's enough nostalgia.
That's right.
But, well, I really appreciate your calling in.
Thank you. May I close by giving you an 800 number in case people ever need to check to see if something that they've been told is real?
Yeah, go ahead.
Here's an 800 number. People can call Reader's Digest anytime. If you have any questions about something that concerns you that you think might be a sweepstakes prize that you've won but you're not sure, again, fool the scammers by not believing when you get a call out of the blue, but you can always call us at 1-800-304-2807, and we'll check it out for you.
Okay. Thanks so much. I'll be talking to you soon.
Such a pleasure, and I hope to catch up with Leslie Gore. I'd love to hear that as well.
Yeah, me too.
All right, take care.
Right, have a good evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Bill. Okay, so, I'm going to, I can wind up checking out more scams, anybody who has any kind of scam that wants to let me know about it that we can check on, that would be fine. And Let's see. Well, who do we got on? Do we have from, is this my travel on people?
Yes, it is, Merle. Hi, it's Kathy Curtin. How are you?
Oh, just fine.
Good.
Yeah, so what I want, I'm going to go get my little, my pillow. Well,
okay. And get comfortable, right?
I'm going to get my pillow. While I'm doing my, while I get my pillow, I'll throw in a commercial while I get up to get my pillow.
Okay.
So I don't want you to, you know, it's kind of cute. So just hang on there. I'll be right back.
Italy,
okay.
Spain, Greece, Turkey. Stuff it. We do at Santa Barbara Olive Company. Jalapenos, sun-dried tomatoes, almonds, blue cheese, stuff produced in California. And we stuff some of our cold-pressed olive oils with California garlic and herbs grown right here in our backyard. Our olive oils have been pitted against some of the finest imports, and guess who exceeds in taste tests? Santa Barbara Olive Company. It's the stuff that makes a product great.
Okay, now, got my pillow.
All right, you're all set. Is it your antimicrobial pillow?
Yeah.
All right, so now you know there's going to be no germs reproducing on that pillow.
Yeah, and not only that, worst case scenario, I can use one of those UV lights.
That's right.
Clean
those
it too.
Lights.
So, explain to the people what this microbial pillow is.
Okay, it's actually an antimicrobial pillow. And antimicrobial.
Can I call it anti? Anti-pillow?
Absolutely, you can call it the anti-pillow.
Okay.
It is a, it's actually a fleece-covered pillow. And as part of the manufacturing process, when it's being dyed, when the fleece is being dyed, there's an antimicrobial agent that is included into the dyeing process. So it goes into, it's not a spray-on treatment, it's actually into the fibers. And what that means is that any germs or microorganisms that are around and aren't going to reproduce on the pillow.
This is the outside of the pillow that has it.
The covering.
The covering.
Yeah, the pillow cover. The inside of the pillow is a regular filling, you know, fiber fill filling.
Oh, okay. So how does it like work? Let's say I'm on the plane. So what is it actually doing besides making me go to sleep?
Well, it's giving you a peace of mind that you're not going to be harboring a lot of germs that are on the pillow and are going to, as a result, get on your face or in your, you know, into your system. It's going to keep things from reproducing. You know, germs get into something and they reproduce at a very fast rate, and microorganisms and all of that stuff that we don't want to be around. And so that pillow is going to keep that from happening, so you can have a peace of mind that you're not harboring germs and microorganisms from one place to another, or they're not getting in your hair or on your skin or in your sinuses or anything of that nature.
So it's not necessarily going to help from your getting a cold while you're on the plane because, you know, of somebody's...
Well, If somebody sneezes onto that pillow or into the air and that those germs go onto the pillow, they're just going to stop. They're not going to go any further.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
That's cool. And there's a blankie, too.
There's a blanket, and they're both designed so that they're very travel-friendly. They have little add-a-bag straps, so you can just put them right over your carry-on so they don't take any space in your luggage. The blanket packs into a nice compact size that will fit into its own packing pocket. Once it's open, you can use that pocket to keep your book or your iPod or anything you might have sitting on the seat with you while you relax on the plane.
Ooh, cool. That's great.
Well, yeah. There's nothing else like it. It's really a very unique travel product out there, and today, you know, you can't get pillows and blankets on the plane, and if you can, you really don't seem to want to touch them too much because you don't know where they've been or how clean they are, and this way you've got your own pillow and your own blanket. You can relax and enjoy your flight and know that it's you're not going to get sick from using it.
Well, it's kind of like also when you're on the plane, you're leaning your head against the seat that heavens knows already. You know, they clean the plane before you get on, but they're not disinfecting it or anything.
Yeah, they're not sanitized, and you know, and I'm not sure they're clean every time before you get on, but they hopefully are at least every day.
Yeah, because actually, I don't, you know, like when they have those little pieces of, it's like that little cloth.
Mm-hmm. The little,
you know,
like almost like a little doily.
Yeah, and I always wonder, like, why do they change it?
I don't know the answer to that, Earl.
But anyway. So, well, I will try these things the next time I'm on the airlines.
Oh, good.
But I also want to get into, I wanted to comment about the other products.
Cool. Toiletries. Yeah, aren't those awesome?
Well, one of them is a whole group of products. This is, they're soaps.
They're all paper toiletries, and so there's six of them in the line. There's a hand soap, a shampoo, a conditioner, a body wash, a shaving soap, and also a laundry soap. And they're small, little, there's 50 sheets in each pack, and they dissolve with water, and they aren't liquid, so they don't qualify for the 3-1-1 rule. You don't have to worry about using the space in your one-quart bag. You can put them anywhere in your carry-on, or even if you're not traveling and you're going somewhere where you're not sure there's going to be soap, it's just a nice little packet to have with you.
Yeah. So now, can you, like, if you took them out, I mean, like, there's a whole bunch, and you don't want to necessarily take each one of them, right? Can you take out, like...
A couple sheets, yeah. Depending on what which item you're using, for example, the hand soap, you know, you might want one or two of the sheets to wash your hands. That's really all you need. The shampoo, you might need four or five if you've got long, thick hair. Same with the conditioner, or even more. The shaving, I think, you know, the men in our office that use the shaving say they shave with four sheets.
Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So, in other words, you're kind of like bringing how much you think you need.
Well, they're in the. I think you've got a sample there. They're in a little plastic dispenser, and
right.
It's pocket size. So you could just bring. I would bring the whole pocket the whole packet with you, and then take what you need out as you're using it.
Yeah. So, in other words, like you could probably. Well, I guess if you have to kind of. Maybe call ahead of time to find out what kind of toiletries are actually maybe at the hotel room.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, I mean, sometimes there's shampoo and sometimes there's conditioner. There's very rare that there's shaving products there. There's always, often there's soap. Although if you travel internationally into some of the more remote areas, you don't typically find soap in bathrooms and things of that nature.
Right.
So it's good from that standpoint. It's also, it's biodegradable. They're all biodegradable, so they're great for camping or outdoor activities.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't even think about that. Yes, for camping. And by the way, I just have to change the subject for one second. In case anybody is, like, calling in, which I see, I know that you're there. I haven't clicked you on, and I will get to you after I complete this. I just want to let you know I'm there, that I see you. So hang on. Okay, now let's get back to this.
Okay.
So, what other products were there at the that you have, the travel products?
You mean besides what we're talking about today?
Yeah.
We have a whole array of travel accessories. We've got luggage scales and toiletry kits, and we've got the checkpoint-friendly briefcases and luggage carts and wallets and cell phone cases and RFID blocking products and adapters, converters, a full range of travel accessories, many, many of which are unique to us that we've invented, that we hold patents on, that you really can't find somewhere else.
Cool. That's great. Yeah, I'm going to, I'm actually going to get back and talk about this after I've tried it, because some of the things I'm curious about, for instance, is, let's say I'm using the shampoo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is the shampoo, I would imagine, of course, it's not going to be like my, whatever my normal shampoo is.
Well, it's a little bit different in that it's not going to lather a lot. And the reason it's not going to lather a lot is it's designed not to. It'll clean your hair and it'll treat your hair very gently. But because it's biodegradable and it's eco-friendly, we've made it so that it doesn't create a lot of suds that don't decompose well. So
That's great to know that.
Yeah. So and it's the same with the shaving gel. The shaving gel is not going to lather into a big foamy type of thing you're used to with a shaving cream. Again, it's going to create a viscosity that's going to let the blade glide over your skin, but it's not going to create a lot of residue, so it doesn't have to break down in the environment.
Oh, cool. That's really nice.
Yeah.
I definitely will be writing about all of this after I get to use the products.
Oh, good. I'm anxious to hear what you have to say. I think you'll find that there's nothing else like them in the marketplace, and you know, they serve a different kind of niche than anybody else you'll find in the travel products business.
And how do we get a hold of the products? So is it? Are we just like going, let's say, to your website see what the products are, or can we go to our store and find it?
You can look at our website to see all of our products. It's www.travelonbags, that's TravelonBags.com. And on there's links to retailers. Also, like the paper toiletry products, you'll find those at places like Bed Bath & Beyond, nationally at e-tailers like e-bags, things of that nature. Most of our products are sold through luggage specialty stores and through luggage specialty catalogers like Magellan's or Norm Thompson Solutions, TravelSmith.
Okay. I have to say, I have seen places that sell like the soaps, like the, you know, in sheets of soap. I've never seen it, you know, other than hand soap before.
Yeah.
So I think that's really cool that you have different things.
Yeah, we had those formulations created especially for us.
Now, I'm curious, like, so the bath gel would be different from the soap?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's different ingredients. The hand soap is actually more like a bar soap when it's being used, and the bath gel again is a little bit thicker, a little bit more viscous. I'm not sure I'm saying that right, but it's a little bit slicker, like a bath gel would be once it's reconstituted with water.
Okay. And all right. And by the way, because I'll do this. Would I actually put that on the washcloth?
We recommend that you take a couple sheets out and use dry hands, because you don't want to get the whole package wet, and then put them in the palm of your hand with a little water and rub your hands together.
Okay. And then like clean your body with it.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
okay.
You know, if you're doing the body wash, yeah, you can do it in a washcloth.
Yeah, that's why I was wondering.
Yeah. Certainly can
okay.
do that. And the other really unusual product there is the laundry product, and you can use that to rinse things out in your sink, or you can even put it in a washing machine if you're on a cruise and you're doing and they have laundry machines available for use. You don't want to carry liquid or on board, so it's a very unique product.
Yeah, Yeah, I would imagine, like, you know, you're going someplace and you don't want to take 7 pairs of underwear.
Right.
Right. You know, and just it's something to wash. It's good, mm-hmm. something good to wash it with.
Absolutely.
Great. All right. Thanks a whole bunch
Thank
for calling
you,
and telling us about this.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And I'll let you know when I got it in which paper. I have a lot of publications now to write all these products for. So
fantastic.
Eventually, little by little.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Have a great evening.
You too, Merle.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Well, yes, I guess I'll try all these out. I'll travel on with travel on. I don't know what happened to that, to whoever it is that was calling in. Don't know who it was. But let me get to this, though. Even though she hasn't called in. Why does this keep happening? She must be hanging out with Chubby Checker. But anyway, one of the things, and I want to play this number. Leslie Gore, she's out of the closet, so I could say that she's been out of the closet for a while. And I think I read something. She's been with her GF, as we call it. It's like 23 years, I think it said.
Wow.
And I don't know if this is related to this, but she had one of her songs on the L Word. Yes, the infamous L Word, which I think is supposed to have their last season coming up. And the song is called Words We Don't Say, and I would like to play that right now.
You think it'll rain? I'm gonna be late. Look at the time. Words sweet.
correct because Leslie Gordon hadn't come on and said a word. Look at that. But, oh, God, I really need to, and only because of that, I really need to play something like it. Let's wake everybody up. Come on. I never had Filipino food except like like at a street fair, and it was always kind of the same thing, some little rice dish and these little egg roll looking things, you know. So, but surprisingly, I had things I've never tasted. Oh, it's a cuisine unto itself. Like, there's nothing, I mean, there's influences of all over around the Far East, Southeast, whatever, that whole area. But it's really, it's its own cuisine. So I'm going to have, the place is called Mama Mina. The woman's name is Philomena, so she calls herself Mina. And so she'll be on next week to talk to us about the Philippine cuisine. And the other thing is, now let me find this thing here. Okay, it's the 23rd. Let's tell you what this is about. 23rd, I guess the 23rd Israel Film Festival. I don't know if they meant, okay. 20th Israel Film Festival showcased the best of Israeli cinema in celebration of Israel's 60th anniversary. And they're doing this in New York, October 29th to November 13th. And I'm going to be attending their opening night party. Yes, I get to be there and at the red carpet. And I understand who's the, let's see. I'm going to see one of the films, and let's see who'll be there. Oh, we got, well, there's going to be some awards, which will be to Danny DeVito is getting an award. He's a recipient of the Lifetime Visionary Award, presented by Michael Douglas. So these two people will be there, along with Erwin Winkler, Edward Zwick, and after we're going to see one of the movies, the opening night film called Lost Islands, and then there's going to have we're going to party afterwards. Yep, we're going to party afterwards. And I guess the whole thing, why not? You know, a party. We like to party.
Are you ready for some football?
Oh, not that kind of a party, Mallory. That's not that kind of a party. We already talked about football.
Are you ready for some football?
No, we finished. Come on. We finished talking about football, you know, the whole thing with Andrew, et cetera, et cetera. So, someone else was going to call in to give us some information about something coming up. Actually, I was sent an email, and I said, just call in. And, I think the person called in, I told her to call in at 8 o'clock on my time. She called in at a few minutes before 7 o'clock, and thinking I was going to have Leslie Gore, I said, you know, call back at 8, and she didn't call back at 8, so my time is 8:20 now. I'm going to go watch the rest of Ugly Betty. That's what I'm going to go do, and the heck with it. And so I'll talk with everybody. Next week, I may have some interesting information about scams. You just never know. So, and I gotta go with 10.
Yeah.
hello to everyone. Say goodbye to everyone.
I know you're the host of the show. I understand. I got it.